All right, let's open our Bibles this evening, and we're going to be in the 17th chapter of Revelation. Now again, in that 16th chapter, so wonderfully we read about those seven vials that were poured out, and that took us through the Great Tribulation, took us through the Battle of Armageddon. And now, Lord willing, here in chapter 17, we're going to examine this Babylon and her relationship with the beast, and then her demise. And I believe we'll just go right at it here, and starting in chapter 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now again, this seven angels. It's so wonderful that we keep seeing these seven angels. And specifically, I'd like to note that Revelation chapter 15, verses 6 and 7 was the last time, in a sense, we saw that it was so precious that the four living ones were instructing these seven angels, meaning these spiritual perfected saint. These are what these angels are. They're not angels. They're actually glorified saints. But again, these are the ones that are instructed by the four living ones, which represent the bride of Christ. This is the relationship that this group, this company of believers that will be the full overcomers, that will be the ones that it says that rule jointly with Jesus Christ, that will be instructing the ones that will be pouring out the judgment at this time. This is a place, and again, an offering of a place that Christ is offering to saints and to us at this time to join with Him. Now again, it says, which had the seven vials, and it talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. Now tonight we're going to read that this great whore is this Babylon, is this, again, this religious Rome. We'll talk more about that as we get down into the fifth and the sixth verse of this chapter. But I'd like us to jump back just to Revelation 2 and go to Revelation chapter 2 and begin reading in verse 18. Now again, this was Thyatira. This was that church that had Balaamism and Nicolaitanism that was very rampant in this church. And let's read again about this, because this is really what is the nucleus, is truly the evidence of what this great whore is all about. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Now again, bringing this back, remember, we've been looking at this wonderful Lamb. Isn't that precious? And again, his children see this wonderful Lamb. His believers see him as the Lamb. But again, as we've been reading throughout, as we've studied Revelation, whenever God or whenever Christ is going to pour out judgment, we see the feet of brass. We see the fiery eyes. Now this is bringing back, again, the things that we've already studied, bringing this back to this church of Thyatira, seeing that there is great judgment going on here, and Christ is calling to these people at this time, and He's saying, come out from her. There's much grace still. There's grace that's efficient. I'm telling you. It's sufficient. It's efficient. It is omniscient. It is going to be everything to you if you believe in me. And this is what He's calling. He says, I know thy works, and I know thy charity or thy love and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Every single one of these characteristics, as we read back then when we studied this second chapter, was all in self. It was self-works. It was self-service. It was self-loves. Everything pointed to self. Going on to verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now again, this lady Jezebel means without cohabitation, meaning that she presents herself, this chaste virgin, she presents herself as a prophetess. But yet, as we're going to read, this church, this great whore, this woman is much married. She definitely is a Pergamos body. She is one that has gone out there to seduce these saints. She is the one that has gone out there. And really, I was thinking again, the very nucleus of it, if you go over to Pergamos, the very first demise from Ephesus. Remember Ephesus? It says all the wonderful things that the church of Ephesus had, all those wonderful qualities. But it says, I have one thing against thee. You've left the first love. Get back to that first love. Well, right after Ephesus, we have the church of Smyrna, which obviously is an overcoming group shown in the church age. And again, Philadelphia shown as those overcomers as well, too. And Christ is calling those in Ephesus at this time, the saints that might be a little bit lukewarm and not just on fire and knowing that Christ truly is in love with them and wants them to love Him in that way that they can be united as man and wife someday. But yet, if they don't take that step, the very next step down is that church of Pergamos. And if you notice about the church of Pergamos, if you remember what we read about there, is that they held fast the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And what was that? That was the laity. That was the power over the people. That's when they started doing the priestly order. That's when they started telling the people what to do. And now that we've come to this woman, brothers and sisters, this truly is a religious system. This is the old Roman system. And I believe I can speak somewhat freely because of my, in a sense, heritage of my family that's still caught in a part of that religious system. And let me tell you something. There are many religious systems today. There isn't just one. There's one that seems to be more prominent in this country just because we are a country of predominantly a thought. I won't say it is exactly because it's not necessarily acknowledging Christ as a Savior, but it is a Christian in a sense. We acknowledge that there is a Jesus. So our biggest religious system obviously is Catholicism in this country today. But then I would take you to very other parts of the world, and the majority of those, once you step out of Catholicism, it's a Muslim. It's Islam. And believe it or not, that's just the same thing. It's the power over the people. It's a laity. It's a church. It's a religious body of works. Now you think of Catholicism. It's how many Hail Marys. It's how many deeds. It's how many things that I do. It's all about works and confession. And again, it is a religious body that has put that power over the people to conduct their lives. That's exactly what it is. And yet Christ says so clearly in His Word, I have come to make men free. I have come to set you free from this. I have taken the law. I have nailed it to the cross. And ye now are under grace. There is no man between me and God except Christ Jesus. There isn't anybody that I go to that can dictate what I should do, who I should be, except for Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I was thinking as, and again, so appropriate to how we're studying and what we're studying is the appointment of the four saints this last week. Did you hear about that in the paper? Now, where in this word does it ever say that anybody appoints a saint except Jesus Christ when somebody comes to Him and says, Lord, You're my Savior? Then you're a saint. But do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how the world acknowledges that? Do you see how our papers acknowledge that? Do you see the acknowledgement in that is that system? And it's interesting within that system, and we've talked a little bit about it, how there is a charismatic movement that's actually happening in the Catholicism at this time. There's still the very much prevalent Roman movement as well, too. But I have some dear friends that are very dear Christians. One of them happens to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but they absolutely all of their life have attended Catholic Church. But there's a movement going on. It's going to be interesting to see what will happen with that movement when this Romanish truly does take hold. Now this beast many times that the multi-headed beast that we're going to be reading about, this Antichrist body as we see, in a sense, A lot of people say, well, that's going to be the Muslim world. Well, it's going to be the Catholic world. It's going to be this world. It's going to be the combined world. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be every bit of it. And don't think that it's just ironic that the Pope the other day mentioned something about Islam from the 4th century or whenever that was and criticized it, because those are just catalysts to bring those things together. Believe it or not, it's not separating. It's a time now, and I think those things are absolutely deliberate. If you don't think they are, you're crazy. Those are deliberate statements so that we can reach across and join hands. I'm going to tell you it is. And someday it's going to be joined. The world is going to unite under this thinking, under this message. So we'll see it at that time. All right, now in verse 20 it goes on to say, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. So again, the seducing the servants, the committing of fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, this all is the epitome of self-works. Behold, I will cast her, in verse 22, into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. These are the ones that will go into that. This is this warning to these people to come out of her, or you're going to go into great tribulations, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, listen to this, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan. This doctrine is a depth work of Satan. It's very subtle. It's very slight. It's very deceiving. It's very satisfying to the flesh, because it's something that I can produce. It's something that makes me feel good. It's got a pattern, in a sense, of something of my strength that I can keep, I can perform, I can do, I can think. That's absolutely against what Christ Jesus is all about. I did it. I finished it. I completed it. And it's done. And he said, you know what? Rest, just like my Father did. Cease from your own works and enter into the very rest of God. You will never have rest in your life until you cease from your own works. Just as God said, after he created the world, after he saw that that creation was good, he could rest completely because he knew it was in the hands of his Son. He knew it was done. He knew it was finished. And I just believe that God in his wonderful word is calling us and pleading with us to enter into that wonderful rest of grace. All right, so going back to verse 1 in chapter 17. Again, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. And if you do go over to Revelation chapter 17, again, which we're in verse 15, you will see that the many waters are nations, many peoples at this time. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have become and been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This is beginning to be religious madness, is what's going on. And truly, we are in a time of religious madness. And again, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I think of how this book, which was written at this time and talking about this Babylon, and you know, this is about 90 AD. Well, you know, there's different religions going on right now, that one of them is a new spin, and it's not new, but it's starting to gain popularity, are these preterists, as it's called. And they believe that that we are actually in the millennium right now, and that God had set up his kingdom back in AD 70. Well, if this is the perfection of the kingdom age, then we missed it. I'm just telling you. And it's over. But as a precious brother said to me, isn't it ironic? Because what man does is they try to set up things that will appease the way that they live. Do you see? And these preterists, what they do is they just go out and do anything that they want to do. They say, well, this is the way God has set it up, so we can participate in all the worldly sin that's out there, because it really isn't sin, because God set it up. Now, do you see how crazy that thinking is? But do you see how you can, it's just another step. Sin begets sin. And when you start spinning away from the things of God, and what are the things of God? They're right here. This is the things of God. This is it. This is God's Word. This is His Son. And everything was put in His Son. And when we step away from this, and we begin to, it will just spin us further and further and further away. And then finally, as we've seen, I mean, what do you think those seven churches represented? Remember, you could either spin closer to the Lord right there at the very beginning. You've left the first love. And I don't know where we are tonight. I don't know. Only God searches the reins of the heart. But He's talking to each and every one of us every single day. Who is your first love? Okay? Well, if it isn't the Lord, then by the grace of God, get on your knees and say, Lord, work that in my life, that You are my first love. Spin me toward You. But if we don't, we end up right in Pergamos, don't we? Isn't that something? Not purgatory, Pergamos. All right? And then from there, it could be, like I say, we go to Sardis. And then from Sardis, where do we go? We go right there to Thyatira. And then you're Laodicea. Whatever you could end up in, I don't want to end up in it. Because anything short of God's best, what He's offering us in this age, we missed it. We missed it. And by the grace of God, as Brother Copley used to say, what if I'd have missed it? The Lord has me at this time saying, Lord, don't let me miss it. Don't let me be so stupid to miss the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise His name. He's given me a crown and I want to hold it fast in His love. Praise Him, praise Him. All right. So again, she has made the inhabitants of the earth drunk. This is the religious madness with the wine of her fornication. And it's so interesting here. She presents herself the prophetess, but look at, see who she fellowships with. It's not with God. It's with the world. Pretty obvious. God does not fellowship with the world. Doesn't. It's in His Son. So this prophetess was fellowshipping with the world and obviously shows that this is a whore. This is somebody that's pretending to be something that they're not. So He carried me, this is the third verse, so He carried me away in the Spirit, in the wilderness, this is John, and He's in the Spirit, in the world. This is this wilderness, is depicted here, is the world. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And again, this is that epitome of the Antichrist and the false prophet, this beast that is the one that is going to rise up, that the world will follow after, that they will worship, that will receive the mark of the beast, that if they don't have the mark of the beast, they can't enter into trade, they can't enter into a store to purchase things. It is going to be that restrictive. There are so many parts of the world right now over in Europe. I believe it's either Sweden or Switzerland that already has the chip, I believe, even in the hand. It's coming. It's here. We already have a number. You are a number. Now, I'm not saying to renounce your number. I mean, I know that there's a sect of Christians that I don't think want to render to Caesar what really is Caesar's. And they say, well, it's because I've got to denounce that number because the mark of my social security number is the beast. Now, come on. You know what you're trying to do if you're stuck into that. Now, again, look what the Lord said as He looked at that coin. And they were trying to fool Him and He handed it to Him. He says, well, you render under Caesar's what's Caesar's. And you render under God what's God. See? He wants you to respect. He wants you to seek peace with men as much as lies within you. He wants us to obey the laws of the land. Okay? So let's know what God is talking about when He's mentioning those things to us. But again, this woman sits upon the beast, sits upon the Antichrist at this time. This world goes into this drunkenness, this madness of these nations that will all rise up. And again, as we'll read in the 14th verse, they will rise up and have this fantasy to make war and to actually enter into war with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? But then again, can you imagine in a day when you walk through and you hear people just violently take the name of your Lord in vain? When they intentionally say, well, I don't believe that. You would have to be a fool to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They openly say that. And yet, do I have a hard time believing that they will join as one and actually go and try to battle him? Nope. Because they're that stupid. I'm just telling you, they're that ignorant. And more importantly, at this time, God will allow an evilness to come upon this earth and to come upon these people like they have never seen yet. It's going to happen. All right. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple. Now again, this purple is a very important color because this is actually the color of Rome. Remember, John was in exile at this time. He was on the Isle of Patmos. And Rome was in charge at this time. They were in charge from basically England all the way down into some parts of Africa and even up above that, almost as far as Ireland. They were still fighting them off a little bit up there. But this was a huge empire. But purple represented Rome. And the scarlet color, again, talking about the blood and presenting themselves that they're this holy outfit. And I think we have some of this today. We can see this decked with gold and precious stones and pearls and just think the devil was a cherubim as well too. And he can produce himself as something very beautiful as well. Having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And you can see again the works of the world. And we'll go over to Islam as well too, just so again we can talk about these two large major religions of the world at this time. Again, there's certain hours of the day you have to get your rug out and pray. There's only certain times that you can eat meat. There's certain times that you're supposed to eat fish in both of these religions. Again, it's a religion of works and duties and things that I am gaining merit because of something that I can physically do. Where in the world do they get that in this word? They don't. The Word of God tells me again, it's by grace and grace alone. The Word of God tells me over and over that it is Christ's work, that I am His workmanship, that He causes me to will and to do of His good pleasure. And furthermore, where do you get in the Word of God all of these things and these duties that they put over people? You don't get them. They're not there. And isn't it amazing as a Christian, and by the grace of God, I'm so thankful I never have ever entered into that. But those that have come out of that, those that have tasted of those things and have been under that type of bondage in their life, that now have this enlightenment and illumination in their soul that God finished it in His Son. Isn't it a wonder that how could you believe something that's not in the Word of God? It's like a man that I'm going to be with tomorrow, Lord willing. And I mention him to you, and I care for him very much. This is another man, but he's gotten to the point where Jesus is a great teacher. Well, great teacher don't get it. But at least we've got to a great teacher. So I'd say in the great teacher, if he's a great teacher, do you believe his words? I'm not even going to say that this is the whole word. He'd never even get there right now. But do you believe his words that he spoke? How about ye must be born again? Huh? See, those are the words of life. That's the words of simplicity. And again, brothers and sisters, when people try to come at you, and Christians will do this, and even in different Christian religions, whether they're... And I really don't want to go there at this time because I'll let you use the knowledge maybe that you have. I don't want to... I think the Lord doesn't want me to go there. But in these different Christian, and I'm talking about ones that know Him as Savior, but they start to try to put things on your life that are not in this word, you're bewitched. You are. You're stunted. It's destruction in your life. And you need to know that. And you cannot play both sides of it. And in the short 2 years that I've been in since this part of the ministry as pastor, I've seen men and women fighting. Talk about a city divided against itself, or a family or a person divided against itself. False. You can't serve both. It's either God or mammon. And it is. And you have to understand that just because it becomes in a religious package that feels good, that isn't necessarily mean it's from God. Most of the time, if it feels good, I'm going to tell you, I know I feel good in the Lord, but I want a faith good. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times when my sensory perceptions are thinking that it feels good to me, that's something that's definitely of mammon. So, again, even, and as I was sharing with the sweet brother and sister over here, that, you know, even if we're otherwise minded, if we have a willing heart, He'll make it revealed and known to us, because He's a faithful God. All right, so we see that she's full of abominations in this cup. Filthiness of her fornication. You can see the holiness that goes on with Rome. You can see them putting up the cup all the time. And again, if you go into Hebrew, the Hebrews there, it talks about the filthiness in reliving that crucifixion, in a sense that they're making that blood and that wafer the body of Christ. Know your Bible. People don't like to hear these things, but know what the Word of God says that is. That's abomination. It's filthiness. All right. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon. And Babylon again means confusion. And let me tell you something. This worldly religion is confusing. It's confusing the people. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And remember, the devil is the author of confusion. So this just follows right along, just right. And again, a lot of people try to say, well, see, this is just speaking about ancient Babylon. But you have to understand, ancient Babylon was on one body of water, and that was on the Euphrates River. Okay? This is a city that's on many waters. This is something completely different. So don't try to pull these things back to say, oh, this was talking about a time long time ago. No, this is talking about a future event and basically a state that we're in this world today. And again, it says that she's the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration or great amazement. There was something amazing with this thing that was going on. And I'm sure in a lot of ways it would amaze us if we were taken into spirit and seen this activity going on at this time. That all of the world would be wandering after this beast and this religious system, this religious body, this religious place is pointing everything to this man and to give your praise and worship to. I mean, it is truly unbelievable, but you can see that this world is getting more and more ripe for this type of a thing. It's in total chaos. We have an election coming up, and I have never seen such hate. I have never seen such ugliness and outright belligerent people, one towards another, on both sides. But then you throw in the world and oh my. I'm telling you, if you didn't know the Lord, I would probably go out and shoot myself. And I'm not kidding you, because there's no hope out there. There is no hope. They're dead. And I'm so thankful that we have life in Him. I'm so thankful that I truly have a hope. That I know who loves me. I know that He cares for me. But I know He's got a plan. And see, that's the beautiful thing. When He takes you into this plan. And it's just like that song we sang there. It truly isn't about the crown. And in a sense, that song I was thinking of says, well, it's really not about the glory. But if you really read the Word of God as well, too, you'll find out that the glory of God is in the face of His Son. And I'm going to tell you something. It's all about the glory. Because there's no other glory but Jesus Christ. And He's wanting to bestow His glory in its absolute fullness on a body that's going to be likened to His own. And that's going to be an equal with Him in reigning, in ruling, in loving. That He will acknowledge and let them know that He has loved her. And that when He is worshipped at the same time, He will make them bow down to worship her. Okay. You got quiet. Got thoughtful. Believe Him. That's the place that He wants for you. Praise His name. And see, there's no way you could earn that. See, I love that. See, when you really understand about the heights that He wants to take you to and really start to get a vision of it, you know there's no way you could be worthy of that. That's the beauty about the Lord. The higher He takes me, the more that I see, and I have to see the grace of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? There's just no way, Lord, that I could ever remotely bring anything into that. Because if I could, then it wouldn't be real. It couldn't be true. You think about, you know, Brother Hill used to talk about people that had a lot of money, or the Queen of England, like I could bring something into the palace that she would like. You know, I could bring money here. I'll give you some money. As all the money that she needs. How much more so our Heavenly Father? Got it prepared, completed. Praise God. And that's, I'm loving that thought that He's given me. The higher He takes me, I'm going to tell you, and that's the Word of God, is the more the grace of God I've got to allow Him to put in my life. All right. So I saw this woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration or amazement. And again, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This is going to be a religious system that goes out and kills and destroys the saints. And it's already been here. And it was at this time. And there was a leader called Nero. And very interesting that, again, how people will try to twist things. But I want you to understand that all these things have meaning. In the Hebrew, the name Nero, if you add up the letters and what they are, every Hebrew alphabet has a number associated with it. That name is 666. So they say, oh, well, that was the Antichrist. No, that was just a type. Just like Pharaoh was a type, just like Judas was a type. They had so many different types. God has given us types and signs all the way through to show us in our ignorance that things are going to happen. I'll show you a type, I'll show you a sign of what will come to be, what will come to pass. I'll take a king and I'll throw him out there and make him live like an animal for years. I'll take him right out of his mind. A king. And there he was out grazing. Could you imagine? Oh, I'm here to see the king. I'm sorry, he's out in the back and he's eating grass in the field. That's what God can do. Don't mock God. You know? I'll tell you, you want to read funny things, read the Bible. You really need to. And it's true. And there's nothing hard for him. And our wisdom's foolishness to him. Praise his name. All right, but you'll see that under this and at this time, they were going in and they were killing the Romans at this time. And it was under that system. That's that Roman rule system. And what they were doing was they were going after all the Jewish Christians. They were going after the Gentile Christians, and they were basically destroying them. One of the biggest things that they used to love to do at this time was to get animals to eat these people. They did, whether they were dogs or lions or bears, and they would have them destroy the flesh, many other ways that they would destroy them. So don't think that this hasn't been here before. It's been with us all the time. It's just this system at this time when this happens, it's going to be completely unleashed. We read about the four empires there, how we had the Babylonian, we had the Persian, we had the Greek, and then the Roman as well too. And all of these are going to come together as this great empire that has never been seen before, that God is going to allow the devil to empower them with such spiritual wickedness and power that never has been seen before. All right, verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. Verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. Now we've read about this beast, and the reason he says he was and is not is because this was one of those kings that actually was had the mortal wound to the head and died. And after 3 days, the one that is allowed to go down to the bottomless pit, that Satan, and unleash all of that wickedness out of this bottomless pit, brings that person back to life. And the world will follow after him. Okay? It's coming. This is somebody that's going to be allowed to be raised from the dead and goes into perdition. This is this Antichrist, or goes into destruction. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now again, this is so important, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When this Antichrist comes to life at this time, and this will be shortly into, this is 250 days actually before the middle of the week. And if you go back when we studied chapter 9, you'll see that that's when this when Satan has the power and the key to go unlock the bottomless pit and raise this person from the dead. There will be saints on the earth that will be dwelling at this time. But they will not wander after this beast. They will know that this is a beast. Let me tell you something. They're going to be aware that there was a body that was taken into heaven. And they're going to be aware, these ones, these martyrs in a sense, these ones that are found under the altar, they're even going to see an innumerable multitude go. They're also going to see 144,000 gathered. So they're going to see some wonderful and mighty things. But again, they're not going to worship this beast because they have not accepted the mark of the beast. Like these ones that are wandering around the earth at this time, not knowing the Lord. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now again, when this woman sits upon these seven mountains and the seven hills, now a lot of people speak of this as it's going to be Rome, because Rome is known as the famous city on seven hills. And actually, I don't know if it's going to be, if it's going to be the place is going to be specifically Rome. I do not know at this time. A lot of people think, and some good spiritual minds, I think good spiritual hearts, I should say, believe that this could be New York City. It could be a lot of different places, okay? All I know is that this is a system. And it will have a place. And it will be a Romanish system. Okay? But again, it looks like this head will come out of, as well as this false prophet, will come out of this religious system that will be able to take the world and make them acknowledge that Antichrist. So it is going to be someone that has great power over the religious system. You think of a pope. You think of an imam, you think of all of these different things that could give orders to people to bring them to worship this person. All right? So again, here's these seven mountains. Now, again, at this time in verse 9, which is important to talk about, this is a time of harmony. She's riding the beast and everybody's getting along. So this is this time when this white horse, remember the white horse that came in at the very beginning of the tribulation time? And they cried peace and safety, didn't they? So there was a short time of a beautiful peace that's on this earth at this time of the tribulation, and then sudden destruction. And let's read verse 10, because you know what? The strife is starting to come in. And there are seven kings. Now, wait a second, what just happened? And five are fallen. And one is, and the other is not. And you'll read about this as well in Daniel 7. You might make note of that and go back and read Daniel 7. And one is, and the other is not come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. Okay, let's talk about this. There are seven kings at this time, all right, with this woman. Now, five are fallen. One is, and one is not. The one that is not is the one that has the mortal wound that has died. We're going to read about them as being an eighth, but they really are the seventh. So there's one that still is reigning at this time of those seven. Now, that sixth king, if you want to talk about it, that one that's reigning at this time. Now, that isn't the Antichrist that it's talking about. It doesn't talk about what happens to that sixth one, but obviously he goes down as well too. Because when that Antichrist, that seventh one that was and is not and yet is, when he comes back, that's the one that will have full reign upon this time. All right? So here we go, verse 11. And again, that short space is 42 and a half months or 3.5 years when this reign is going to happen. And the beast that was and is not, even is the eighth, and is the seven, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. Now let's go back and read chapter 13, verse 3, just again to remind us of what this Antichrist is, again, that the one that is the eighth and is of the seven and goes into perdition or goes into this destruction. And I saw one of his heads, and this is of the beast, as if it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world, not some of the world, not part of the world, but all the world wandered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, or the devil, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And always these are blasphemies. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, as we read in the Word of God, there is no acknowledgement ever. It's always against Jesus Christ. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, or 3.5 years. So again, that's where we get this 42 months, 3.5 years is the short space of this ruling. All right, going back to chapter 17, verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So again, these 7 kings, there 6 of them are gone, and now we have the Antichrist, which is the king over those. But yet here are these 10 kings that show up as well too. But yet they don't really have a kingdom. And these are the 10 toes that are seen in Daniel chapter 2, verse 41. It talks about 2 feet. Obviously, there's 10. There's the toes on each foot. But this is talks about the 2 feet, which speaks of east and west. These are all nations that will join together, that will be in this battle, that will be in this war. As we read, I believe it was Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2, where it says, all nations shall gather themselves against Israel at this time. And these are the feet, these are the toes that are on that feet that you'll see in Daniel chapter 2, verse 41. But receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Again, this is a short time that these kings will have power with this beast. Now, a lot of people think that this is the European Union at this time because it's basically about 9 or 10 nations. It fluctuates. There might be 10 or 11. Who knows how many it is? I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's all nations. They're all going to join. And they're all going to come in and they're going to battle, as it says, against the Lord at this time. Okay, 13. These have one mind. The world unites. Again, how far away are we from the world uniting as one mind? You'd think that that would never happen. I don't think any of us can agree. We can't get along with our neighbor, let alone how are we going to get along with another country, huh? It just shows you the empowerment of Satan and what's going to happen at this time. And you can see that there's such chaos right now with, you know, the scares that are going on. Iran is going to have nuclear bombs. Korea is going to have them. And, you know, but we're not mad people. We have them, but they can't have them. Oh, boy. See, and the reason we're not mad people is because we're educated. Understand. Amen. War is in the heart of man. Haven't been a weapon that's been made, you know, that has never been used. They keep saying that there's a few new bombs that haven't yet, but they'll be used. It's coming. And yet God shortened those days, there'd be no more flesh. He has to shorten them. There's a madness that's in this world right now. And you can see it in our country. We can see it in other countries at this time. And it's here. And it's ready to be poured out. But so amazingly, this is the wonderment that John says when he said, I wondered with such great amazement. And this is the amazement that the world unites. Let me tell you something. If the world united tonight, you would be amazed. That's the amazement. And this one person, in a sense, empowered by the devil, that also is empowered by the false prophet, that's also empowered by the great whore that brings all of the religious body together, gives this person that power. And they wonder after him. And they say, who could make war against him? You see? This is the Antichrist. And it's all come together here. All right. They have one mind. And shall give their power and strength unto the beast. That's Revelation chapter 13, 6 and 7, which we have already read. These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them. There isn't much more to say after that. It wasn't like there was this great battle and the Lamb overcomes them. I just love how short it is. It's like, that was a bad thought. It wasn't going to last long. And it was over. And it's precious, isn't it? See, that's that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and this is Christ Jesus, and praise His name. It's just He's so wonderful, and He overcomes them. For He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And aren't you so thankful that we've known Him as Lord and Lord and King of kings? And see, that again, let just this speak to your life so personally. Is that, you know, we're talking about the world and we're talking about all the powers of the world. We're talking about all the power of Satan. And it just said here, and the Lamb shall overcome them. That's for you today. That's for me today. It's done. That's that victory. And I appreciate how the Lord has brought this so into my thinking with our study that's in the warfare of the believer. That's why it's a defensive. I just need to stand on the promises of God. The victory has already been won. It's been established for me. The promise is there. The promised land is there. All I have to do is enter in. And by the grace of God, stay there. It's just like those shoes we talked about Sunday. Put them on, but don't take them off. You don't need to take them off. It's no fun to take them off. I was reading about narrow is the way. See, that's the life. A lot of people say, oh, that's narrow is the way to heaven. No, not narrow is the way to heaven. Jesus Christ is, He's free. It says He's easy. There's simplicity in the gospel. That narrow way, brothers and sisters, that's the way of living abundant life. And it is. Because people don't want to live this. They don't want to put this in their life. And I'm talking about Christians. The good life is living the gospel. That's the good life. We said Sunday, I challenge you to remember a better time than you've ever had, than you were completely, completely overblown in the Spirit. Than at those moments that you were with the people of God and you were just rejoicing and it was flowing and it felt like you were flying. If you're a Christian, and I appreciated Brother Kevin's, you know, Spirit-filled, amen, praise God. But I want to be Spirit-full. Full. Different. All right, let's keep going. Because I love to read about me too. Praise God. But see, it's in Him. I'm not getting a big head. For He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with Him. And see, I'm with Him. You with Him? Praise God. You're a child of God. You're with Him. You really are. Let's be with Him tonight. Let's be all the way with Him. Going fully after Him. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Praise His name. Romans 5:17. We have a few minutes. Let's go there. A precious verse that Lord might just let you just dwell on for a little bit here. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Isn't that wonderful? See, I want to receive the abundance of grace in my life. Praise His name. And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And I believe that that's really calling me to reign right now. I want to reign with Him right now. I want Him to reign in my life right now. See, I believe truly that, you know, I'm not going to become a worshiper when I get there. I've got to be a worshiper now. Because God tells me that that's who He's seeking right now, the ones that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's who He's seeking. So it's not just going to happen there. It's got to happen here. And I believe the reigning, I need to really spiritually reign with Him and understand what He's called me to now. And how do I reign with Him right now? I've got to open my life up to suffering. We'll talk about that on Sunday, Lord willing. But I have to open my life up to suffering. That's the reigning. And I don't need to bring that on, I promise you. And you know what I'm talking about. You start living the gospel. You put on those gospel shoes. They will lead you. They will lead you into the valley of death. They will. Because that's where fruit's going to be produced in your life. Mm-hmm. And you might even have to pitch your tent there for a while. long while for some. But you know what? I trust Him. And I trust Him. And it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall, it's a guarantee, will be revealed in us. Okay? Let's understand what our promise is. He's asked us, but He said, you know what? If you said you'd go, here's the way. Praise His name. And He says here, unto me, the waters which thou saw, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So again, she's sitting over all these people. And see, that's not, we're not to sit over people. I would hope that this church would never sit over people. God sits over you. You understand that? This is, by the grace of God, we live in the liberty. We're exercising the liberty that Jesus Christ has come to us. And as Brother Scott brought, wonderful that we can be a prisoner of Him. But there's freedom in that as well. I love Him. Oh, praise God. And then the 10 horns which thou saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. So this is kind of interesting. They were getting along so well, and they were true friends. And it was just like that man told me about the rats holding hand with each other, and they were singing in the circle. They had their eyes closed for a moment, and then one looked at the other and said, "Hey, you're a rat." And they started gnawing on his arm, and the other one started gnawing on his arm. And after a while, see, they just burn her. See, they're going to destroy her because that's what's going to happen. And we read about that. And in verse 8, in chapter 18, you're going to read, he's saying, "Come out of her, my people." See, God is pleading with people today. Come out of her. Come out of her. Verse 7, it says that she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow I'm going to give her. For she says in her heart, "I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow." She's totally blind to what she is. She absolutely believes that she's the queen. Where in this book does it tell me that the Catholic Church is the bride? I'll just say it flat out. It doesn't. There's nowhere. I'm sorry. I love those people. I do. And I really truly can say I have many relatives that are in that organization. And some are saved and some are not. Okay? But I know that she tells me that she sits to be this queen, or part of it, I should say. I won't just put it all on her because I think there's going to be a partaking of much religion in this. I really do believe it. I believe there will be a head. But I believe that it's going to be a head that we've never seen before. Because obviously it's going to be a beast like we've never seen before. But it's going to be there. "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will." See, this is again, I just go back and what comfort. What comfort. Do you believe that God has put people in your life that truly are not Christians, that are basically, you look at them and say, "Man, you are Beelzebub himself." But God has put in your heart to fulfill His will in my life? That He has. I'm telling you, He has. I believe my steps are ordered of the Lord. I really do. I believe that everybody that comes into my life, one way or another, whether they're bringing in a cold cup of water, or whether they're trying to, you know, heap coals on me or dig a hole for me or whatever it is, God put them there. I do believe it. And nothing can come to me but what God wants to. As we've talked about Job, God had to point him out to the devil. Okay? We're going to talk about a shield of faith, Lord willing, on Sunday. I'm so excited to talk about that. It's been such a wonderful study. So precious. But it is not a shield for a comfortable life, brothers and sisters. It's not. It's a shield of comfort. But it's not a shield for a comfortable life. He's going to try us. Know the Word of God. It's just that He can give you comfort in any trial. When you know what the purpose is about. And it truly is. When you know what the purpose is about. But God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree, even to agree with one another, and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God be fulfilled. We talked about Proverbs 16:4, which he prepares the evil for the day. But I want to just give you an example in Romans chapter 9. Turn with me there if you would, just briefly, and we'll wrap this up. But in Romans chapter 9, verses 17 and 18, this is again another sign and type of what God does. Chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. It says, "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh." Okay, now this was the scripture saying unto Pharaoh, "Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up." God said, "Look, Pharaoh, I raised you up. I put up whom I will and I put down whom I will. And I'm going to use whatever I'm going to use." And everything was created by him and for him. And for him. And all things by him consist and hold together. God uses complete in his vocabulary. He does. He doesn't say some and if and might. Doesn't do that except when he's challenging us to go on for his best. That's true. There's ifs in, "If ye suffer with me, you'll reign with me." There's ifs and mights if an heirs of God and joint heirs if so be that ye suffer together with me. Now those are ifs and mights and maybes. Why? Because that's a calling he's put on your life and a choice. There's a difference there. This is promise. Oh, I love him. Praise God. Let this just encompass your life and just so just overflow in your heart and you'll have such peace. But it says here, "Even for the same purpose have I raised thee up." He's talking about Pharaoh. "That I might show my power in thee." Now you're thinking, how did God show his power in Pharaoh? Oh, read the story. We don't have enough time tonight and you want to go home. But read about that. "And thought, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth." Now a lot of people have trouble with that. Well, you're just saying that Pharaoh was just prepared and made to harden his heart. No, God foreknew. He foreknew. This is the God that would have all men be saved. And didn't stop there and come to a full knowledge of the truth. That is the will of God. But that doesn't mean that everybody's ever going to enter into the will of God. You and I made decisions with that all the way through the day today. See, we want to enter into the will of God. But see, he knew what Pharaoh was going to be about. But more importantly, I believe by the grace of God, he knew what you are going to be about. And he knew that by his grace that he would bring us here this evening to talk about a place of ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ. And yet you can go home tonight and say, "Well, I don't feel special." Shame on you. And that's why I say shame on you. This is a moment in time. It's a precious moment. It's a vital moment. But it's brief. It's a vapor. And what God has called you into, get your head up. Oh, look up. Look up. When we're down, when we think we've been beaten up a little bit, when things aren't going well, and I don't care what it is. He said, "Oh, look up. Look up." Oh, it's on the wing, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And verse 18, "And the woman which thou saw is the great city, which reigns over the kings of the earth." And in Revelation 14:8, you see, "And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." And you think about how it says there, she made them drink. See, Jesus asks you. He asks you to drink. He invites you. But you know what? He doesn't make you do anything. He created a sweet creation that would have free will and have a choice, didn't he? That's how special you are. You're the one creation that has a choice. And by the grace of God, we're Christians. And I hope each and every one of us know tonight him as Savior. But he's given you a choice to come out from among them and be ye separate. He's given you a choice to call unto him to say, "Lord, I will go. honorable. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand.